I've talked a lot in this series, ladies and gentlemen, about the chiefs of this EM, the big shots, the presidents, the kings. Big verse, big revelation concerning these people in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The chiefs of this eon are being discarded, but we, on the other hand, are about to be appointed. We have been marked. We are set apart, set aside to become the chiefs, not of this eon, but of the next. Good morning. This is Martin Zender, and you're at the Revelation series. I pray for my enemies all the time. And again, these are not my enemies. These are people who, for some reason, feel enmity toward me. And you have these people in your life also. And we are coming to a position of extreme power. Think of the Great White Throne. We're going to be getting there in a couple chapters in Revelation. The Great White Throne is a judgment. I'm not there yet in the book, but I had this thought yesterday. I have to give this to you. It's a revelation on the book of Revelation. The Great White Throne is going to be an amazing time, an amazing event. The dead and the small, the great and the small, the dead of all time who have not been raised in the Israelite resurrection to aeonian life or the body of Christ resurrection, the snatching away, which we're about to experience. All of the other dead, those who are unbelievers in either gospel, which is a whole heck of a lot of people, they're going to rise at the Great White Throne. Let me place that Great White Throne experience for you. It is at the crisis between eons 4 and 5. In other words, the kingdom has already run its course. The 1,000-year kingdom is over. At that time, the current earth will be combusted by fire. It will disintegrate in a booming noise, according to Peter, which is the understatement of the eon, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. But before that, in the interval between the destruction of the first earth, because at the Great White Throne it says heaven and earth have fled, there is no earth. There is no earth under the feet of those who appear before God at the Great White Throne. Ah, but my friends, this is my suggestion to you. No, it's stronger than that. This is my insistence to you. Is that they're not appearing before God, yes, but they're appearing before Christ. And if they're appearing before Christ, the dead, the great and the small, all the dead who have ever lived, who have not been raised in the Israelite and the body of Christ resurrection, will be appearing before us. We will be instrumental, if not the agents of the judgment of the Great White Throne. We ourselves do not come into judgment because of the justification, because of God and Christ choosing us to believe now in the day, in the acceptable day of salvation. We come in early. We don't come into judgment. We're under grace. Those at the Great White Throne, they believe because they see. They're standing before the majesty of God. And all judgment has been given by God to Christ. So Christ is acting in the stead of God. But I want to ask you something concerning the 1,000-year kingdom in Israel. What did Jesus Christ say to Peter? He made a huge announcement to that fisherman one day when he said that he was going to be a foundation stone in the kingdom. You are going to sit on one of 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter to unlock. And Jesus said this to Peter, whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven. Whatever you unlock on earth will be unlocked in heaven. He had great power to act under the authority and in the name of Jesus Christ. People ask me all the time, where's Jesus Christ going to be in 1,000 years? I thought we were ruling with Christ among the celestials. I also read that Christ is going to be chief priest in Jerusalem. It's this that, and I've told you this before, it's a good time to remind you that those friends of Jesus Christ, such as Peter, such as David, will be acting in the name of Christ. And it can be said that Jesus Christ rules in Jerusalem even as you're looking into the eyes of King David. You can be looking into the eyes of King David and say, Jesus Christ is reigning in Jerusalem. As Jesus said to Philip, was it? No, or was it Thomas when he probed his wounds? No, he said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It didn't mean that Jesus and the Father were one in identity. It just means that they were so one in purpose. They were so on the same page that if you heard Christ, you heard God. You didn't need God to come down and explain himself because Jesus explained him and represented him perfectly because he was the image and is the image of the invisible God. I think that's 2 Corinthians 4:4. So when we are snatched away, we are enchristed. Do you understand that? We are the body of Christ. Christ is incomplete without us. The head is incomplete. Christ is a title, not his last name. He's bringing to glory many sons, many daughters. We are his brethren, and we are going to be given power, the same power he has. If you want to know what your destiny is, look at the destiny of Christ. If you want to know where you're going to be, look where Christ is. My amazing proposition to you today is that we, instead of being merely present at the Great White Throne Judgment, ladies and gentlemen, we will be executing the Great White Throne Judgment. Because we will have the mind of Christ. Doesn't Paul say that? I'm taking him at his word. He said we have it now. That's a figure of speech. Anticipating what is not as though it were. Because it will be. Guaranteed. If the ex-fisherman is going to have say and sway in the thousand-year kingdom of what's good and what's not, of who's in and who's out, then how is it that we, the members of his body, a far more intimate relationship than mere bride, the mere bride company. How wonderful to be the bride of Christ, good for Israel. Yes, I don't begrudge them that. Why should I? Because I'm the body of Christ, far more intimate relationship. The bride stands next to the groom. It's great. It's very intimate. They're holding hands. They have interlocked arms. I'm a member of his body. I'm part of him, and so are you. We're part of him, and he's incomplete without us, and he's not going to begin the conciliation of the world. I should say the reconciliation of the world. God has already conciliated, but that's a one-way street, conciliation. Reconciliation is when the parties who are conciliated acknowledge it, and they become reconciled to God. We're going to be agents of that. And it's waiting for the completion of the body. The body of Christ isn't completed yet. Christ is incomplete. If I could, yeah, I will say that. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to say if. He's the head. Where's his body? He's a bodiless head. We complete him. Who completes the universe? He completes the universe. We complete him. It's all there in Ephesians. Chapter 1, Colossians also, but Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Read my book, The First City in Heaven. You'll read about it in the later chapters. It's the most amazing revelation I've ever come upon. That Jesus Christ is incomplete without his body, and that the completion of the universe depends on the completion of Christ, and we complete him. Therefore, the Great White Throne. We will be in a position to judge at the Great White Throne. Of whose names are written in the book of life. People are going to be judged according to their acts. Everything's going to be weighed. People's lives will be in the balance. They will be trembling at the great white throne. Here, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be fury, indignation, affliction. Meted out by who? By us. We will be the Josephs and the Christs. Of that event, I say Joseph's because Joseph was the type of Christ. And when I look at Joseph's account, I see an amazing similarity. Well, it's an obvious type of Christ. Therefore, it's an obvious type of us because we will also become Christ's anointed. That's what the name means. The title, I'm sorry. That's what the title Christ means, anointed. Chosen. Chosen beforehand. Separated to God. Holy. Sanctified. So there's Joseph in his homeland, given dreams of glory, just as we have been given, not dreams, but words in Scripture concerning us, Ephesians 2, that we are seated at the right hand of God, that we are to be seated among the celestials in Christ, that Christ is bringing many brothers to glory, that he's the head of the body, all these things. He cannot disown himself. That's why he can't disown us, because he can't disown himself. 2 Timothy 2:12, if he can't disown himself, if that's put forward as evidence that he won't disown you, therefore you are part of him intimately. So there's Joseph, and his brothers hate him because he thinks he's all that, because he's having these dreams of glory. I had a dream, he says, innocently. Where do you hear this dream? I had a dream that you, my brothers, and my father were bowing down to me, that I was like the sun, and you were bowing down to me in homage and worship. He was just given the facts. They hated it because they were proud people. They couldn't stand the fact that this little pipsqueak had these visions of glory. And so they hated him, and they hated the advantage his father gave him, the coat of many colors. And so they plotted to sell him to the Ishmaelites. Joseph went into slavery for 27 years. Until one day, 27 years later, after he was tried by the vision tried him. We're being tried by the reality that we know of what we're coming into. We're being tried by it because we're not there yet. We are now the most insignificant people in the world. We go from having this amazing vision of what we're going to become, which is Christ. That's our vision. We look at Christ. Stephen, in the stoning pit, saw a window open into heaven, and he looked into the face of Christ, and his face glowed, and he looked so peaceful and content while the rocks were breaking his bones. We are now in a position of rocks breaking our bones, and we are people at the bottom. We're in the well like Jeremiah. We're on the cross like Jesus. And yet, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. What joy! The joy of being not only reunited with his Father, but being lifted up to a higher glory than he had even with the Father before the world was. Jesus himself said to God, "Glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was." Glory, glorify me. We're going to be glorified, and we're going to be in a position of Joseph. So now Joseph is in Egypt. He's made he's practically Pharaoh. Only the title is withheld from him. Only the seat is withheld from him. But he's doing the job of Pharaoh. He's a wise man. He's given wisdom of God. He saves the whole world from famine. And his brothers come to Egypt to get food. You know the story. And they prostrate themselves to Joseph. They bow before him, trembling. Trembling in fear, because this is the one they betrayed. You have people in your life who have betrayed you, who have left you, who have insulted you, have disparaged you, have sold you to the Ishmaelites. You're no good. Your vision is stupid. Who do you think you are? And yet you are going to be in a position where they will come trembling before you, and they will not know you, just as Joseph's brothers did not know him because of the blinding glory, the effulgence of your glory, because you're enchristed ones at this time. And your enemies and your friends, everyone you've known in this life. Joseph is the type. This man lived his life as an example to us. It was no doubt a comfort to Christ while he was on earth. Christ read the account of Joseph and found great comfort in it, because he saw how the story ends. He knew that he was in the position of Joseph, sold to the Ishmaelites. Misunderstood, lied about, but especially misunderstood. If you're not lied about, congratulations. But you're all misunderstood. You're all falsely accused of things. Nobody gets you. Nobody got Joseph. Certainly not the Egyptians, but they eventually did. They ended up knowing more about him than his own family, than his own brothers, because Pharaoh recognized in him a wise man. And so his brothers come crawling to him, trembling. Get ready for this, because this is going to be our experience. And you know what my joy is going to be? Do you know what my joy is going to be? And this is the joy Joseph experienced. When his brothers thought, when they realized who it was, and that realization is going to come to your friends, to your relatives, to your acquaintances, to people you look at twice at the grocery store. I've looked at people. I've met somebody's gaze, a complete stranger. And for some reason, you keep looking at that person. And for some reason, they look at you and you have this strange connection. And in my mind, I realize I'm going to see you again. I'm going to see you again at the Great White Throne Judgment, because you're among, I'm assuming they're not a believer, of course. The small and the great, they're a part of that, who rise, the small and the great among the dead, rise at the Great White Throne. I'm going to see that person again. And it's almost like I'm winking at that person. I don't literally do it, but inside of me, I'm thinking, I just had a connection with you on earth. I'm going to see you again, and I'm going to remember you, and you're going to remember me. And at that time, I'm going to have great power, and I'm not going to use my power to destroy you. I'm going to use my power to introduce you to God and to Christ. Joseph lifted the faces of his brothers, and when they thought he was going to kill them, he instead blessed them, and he embraced them, and he offered his life for them, and he gave them a home, and he gave them happiness, and he gave them peace. Even to those who hated him, even to those who never understood him, never grasped him. I don't have any sort of vindictive streak against my enemies. In fact, it's just the opposite. Not just enemies, but those who just don't understand us. But I long for the day to give them for the first time an understanding of God, to embrace them, to give them wisdom and knowledge. It's true that there are people whose names are not written in the book of life at that time, and they will go to the second death. And that is part of our decision as well. But we're acting in the stead of Christ. I mean, not that God and Christ aren't going to be there, but we will be a great part. People ask me, do you think we're going to be there to see the Great White Throne Judgment? People ask me that have no clue what we're coming into. Yet, they still don't know. Do I think we're going to be there? No, I think we're going to execute the judgment. As a corporate body, but a corporate body is still made up of individuals. And so we will be known by those we have contacted us, who have contacted us in this life. And can you imagine the thrill of Joseph? The thrill, for one thing, it's nice to see your enemies bowing down to you. Okay. Maybe it was satisfying to him on a certain level. We will have no soulish remains. We will be completely filled with the Spirit of God in Christ. We have that Spirit in measure now. We're going to have it in fullness and completion then. And that Spirit is not going to fill us with a vindictive attitude of revenge, vengeful, a disposition where we're going to crush our enemies. No, it's going to be our greatest. It's going to be our greatest joy to restore our enemies to fellowship with God, to be the agents, the catalyst that brings those who never knew God into His glory and grace.